Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Thursday evening, we welcome you in. It is time for a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours. We have a full two-hour show, which is fairly rare on Thursday nights because a lot of times we have Thursday night football. Instead, tonight we have Billikens basketball. Advantage Billikens, and they play a late night game. They are out west in San Francisco to play San Francisco, and that's going to be a 9 o'clock tip. So that means our coverage is going to begin at 8:45 this evening, which also means we've got a full edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Lots to get to today on the program. Have a couple interviews that are scheduled. We're going to talk with our good friend Will Leach. He is going to talk Cardinals baseball with us. Of course, you can read him all over the place, and he's part of the Seen Red podcast with Bernie Miklas. And also, we are going to have the newest sports anchor and sports reporter in the market on in the 7 o'clock hour, Grace Ibarra, who you have seen on Channel 4, First Alert 4, KMOV. She is going to join us as we get to know her. I always like doing that. Anytime a new sports anchor or sports reporter rolls into town, we like getting them on Sports Open Line just to get to know them a little bit and for you to get to know them a little bit as well. So Grace is going to join us in about an hour and a half here on KMOX. Want to open up the show, and we'll certainly get Will Leach's thoughts on this, and we'll get your thoughts. As always, if you want to chime in, multiple ways to get connected with us. Call, text, tweet, voice message. If you call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And then if you leave the voice message, if you are listening on the Odyssey app, there is a little microphone thing where you can leave a voice message. You do that, it comes into the station. So if you've got some thoughts on the voice message, we will monitor that as well as we go through the evening tonight. We'll get more into this throughout the hour. In fact, would like to hear, I'll throw this question out, and probably the easiest way to do it is if you text your responses in, and we'll read some of them coming up later on this hour. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and The Athletic reported today that what he's hearing from teams, and he's very connected, obviously, he is hearing that teams around Major League Baseball do not expect the Cardinals to trade Ryan Helsley. So generally speaking, what are your thoughts on that? I guess if you're looking for a little bit more direction on what I'm looking for you or from you, does that concern you because of the level of prospects that the Cardinals could get back for a Helsley? Does it excite you that, you know, if they're going to bring Helsley back, maybe they're planning on winning a few more games this upcoming season than was originally thought? Just thoughts on it. I guess the thing that sticks in the back of my mind is, do they think that they can get Helsley locked into some sort of long-term deal? Because I really don't see much of a reason to hang on to him if you don't think that he's going to be a long-time Cardinal. Now, I say that, and this is going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and I'm really not trying to do that. But the advantage of having him on the roster is clear, especially in a year where, yeah, I believe, I could be wrong on this, I'm wrong on lots of stuff, but I believe that the Cardinals have the potential this upcoming season to be very similar to what they were this past season. So a team that is flirting with 500, flirting with a playoff spot. Maybe they get in, maybe they don't get in. That kind of season. Now, it's better if that happens this year because it's happening as player development is being completely reset and they're setting themselves up for big time success in years following. So in my mind, at least, and maybe it wouldn't feel different to you, in my mind, at least, it would be different if that's the kind of year they have. So if they're going to have that kind of year, well, this past season, they won a lot of close games when they handed the ball off to Ryan Helsley. And that is a really nice advantage to be able to have, right? So that's the positive of it. That if you think you can be a team that can kind of compete, that can be sticking around, being in contention for a playoff spot, having a guy that locks down the ninth inning is a really nice thing to be able to have. To me, if they don't feel like they're going to get him locked into a long-term deal, and if everything I say here, you can just wipe it off the table if they do lock him into a long-term deal. If there's already some informal conversations going on between Helsley and the Cardinals and his representation that, and they feel confident that they're going to get some sort of deal done with him, well then, yeah, keep him around for sure. Obviously keep him around, and everything that we're talking about right now is kind of null and void. But if that's not something that is on the horizon, the long-term implications of Ryan Helsley getting traded way, way, way outweigh the short-term implications of having a lockdown closer in the ninth inning. They just do. I don't think I'm saying anything crazy here. So there's a few things going on here. Maybe they think they can get more for him at the trade deadline. I think that's unlikely, especially the fact that you trade somebody mid-season. Teams can't do the qualifying offer with them. If you get traded right now, a team can, at the very least, if he walks in free agency, they can do qualifying offer and get draft pick compensation for him. You have the opportunity to move him for, I think, some really high-level prospects. There's a lot of teams that would love to have a Ryan Helsley. There's just so many reasons why it makes sense to move on from him. So I do find, and those are all kind of common sense sort of things that I'm saying. So I find it very interesting, and I'm what I would want to dig into, and maybe we'll get more from John Mozeliak this upcoming week when we're down in Dallas for the baseball winter meetings. What is the motivation for the team evidently wanting to keep Ryan Helsley as opposed to trading him. We'll talk more about that coming up later on. Again, if you've got any thoughts, would love to hear via text. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you text into the program. Up next, our good friend Will Leach is going to join us. We'll talk Cardinals baseball with him. We're back with more in just a moment here on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. Also great to be able to speak to this next guy. We haven't talked to him in a while. That's a bad job by us. Will Leach joins us right now. You read him all over the place. Follow him on Twitter at William F. Leach. He contributes at MLB, does a bunch of things. He's part of the Seeing Red podcast with our guy Bernie Miklas, who's here at KMOX now. So even more reasons to talk with Will Leach, who joins us right now. Will, always appreciate your time. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm loving hearing Bernie with you guys on a regular basis. I get to talk to Bernie all the time on the podcast, but I just like listening to Bernie. So I love having him on all your shows you guys got over there.
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, like today we do the Gas House Gang Show, which is a video show at 12 noon, and I wasn't on it today, but he and Kevin Wheeler were doing it, and I was just locked in at home listening in. It's so good to have a guy like Bernie on all the time with us here.
Yeah, it's incredible. I almost feel guilty taking them away from you guys every once in a while when we get to do the show.
No, it's good. We haven't talked, I don't think, really since the end of the season. Where are you at with this reset that this team is going through and focusing in on player development and maybe taking a step back for a year or two at the major league level with the idea that it's eventually going to pay off and they're going to be winning at a high level? Are you on board with all these things that are going on?
Certainly, I'm on board with a change. I think clearly a change needed to be made. I think everybody understood that, and I don't think it needed to be a radical change. But I think certainly, I don't think they needed to do a trade everybody away and start over. And I think those kind of like 5-6 year process things, like the Cubs and the Astros. I don't think that's really common or really even works in baseball anymore. I think this is kind of the way to do that. And I think focusing on the major league, not focusing on the major league roster, I think that's a little different than not adding, right? Like, I feel like at a certain level, I don't know if they need to go out and sign a bunch of guys that they're not going to, but I don't think that's what they need to do anyway. I think what kind of works pretty well is the thing that financially makes the most sense for them in 2025, I would argue is actually what makes the most sense for them competitively. Like, one of the issues, you've heard a lot of players talk about this, was the idea that, like, well, this is the Cardinals. If we're not trying to win a World Series, we're messing everything up. And the kind of pressure that would put on young players, how they felt like if they had a slump, they were going to lose their spot in the lineup. I do think there's a lot of value. There's a lot of young talent on the Cardinals. It's been kind of disappointing in recent years for some of the reasons that we've talked about, the idea that there's some of the things the Cardinals are trying to fix. But on a certain level, focusing on young players this year and being like, okay, who we get? Who is Lars Nootbaar? Who is Nolan Gorman? Like, who are these guys? Are they a part of the next Cardinals team? That's what the Major League roster should be next year anyway, rather than like adding guys. So I think it makes a certain amount of sense. And frankly, I wasn't really discouraged. I know that they've reached out to maybe they're not going to trade Sonny Gray and they're not going to trade Wilson Contreras. I actually don't have a problem with that. They've actually saved a lot of money from last year anyway, just by not bringing guys back. I think there's a difference between wanting to focus on young players and, you know, rooting for the Cardinals to cut payroll. Like, I'm never going to root for that. Like, anyone wants to root for that. I think you can look at some of the moves and say, how do they help this team in the short term, and especially the long term? I feel like that actually works well enough with some of the cost-cutting measures they're trying to do. It doesn't feel like they're just throwing guys out because they make money. It feels like there's a certain logic to it. We'll see how it works in 2025, fortunately. They're not in the AL East, so I think they can kind of hang around a little bit and still be competitive, even if they kind of take these measures.
When you take a step back and, you know, look at things from the old 30,000 feet or whatever the cliche is, the Cardinals have clearly fallen behind other teams when it comes to staffing, infrastructure, data, technology, like all that stuff that the Cardinals used to be maybe the best at, they're not anymore. Do you have thoughts on how they got to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly disturbing. We've always talked about this. Bernie's actually talked about this for a long time, about how they've kind of made these cost-cutting measures. They wouldn't say cost-cutting. They would say they focus on the major league roster rather than the minor league roster. I would argue owning a major league team, that's something you should be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. But certainly some of the decisions that they've made at the cost of the minor league system. But really, some of the details that have come out have been pretty disturbing, and I think you're actually seeing the results of them. I think when we saw late in the year a guy like Victor Scott, who is obviously an incredibly talented player, a guy that like has all sorts of things that he natural skills that he has that are very useful, taking terrible routes on the ball like that, and it's because they didn't have an outfield instructor to work with him every day. That is negligence both in the minor league in the short term and the long term, and I think that's what's worrisome. And I think there's certainly been a kind of a robbing Peter to pay Paul that I think has really hurt. And I think the one thing about 2024, which I feel obliged to point out, was a better season than 2023. The Cardinals had a winning record in 2024. The problem was we clearly saw problems that needed to be fixed. And I think it was something clarifying about it. That team, I think Ryan Helsley is one of the primary reasons to even finish over 500 last year. The bullpen really kind of saved them. You saw guys like Walker struggling in the outfield and Scott struggling in the outfield. Guys that should be, catchers having trouble throwing the ball, Herrera having issues with that. Those are things in the past that have gotten fixed and have to be integral, not just to what the Cardinals have always been, but to what every team in Major League Baseball is. I think that's been the thing that worries them. We've always heard rumors of they've cut back on some minor league staff and they haven't been able to fill those spots the way they used to. I feel like in 2024, you saw it at Busch Stadium. You actually saw a guy like Victor Scott, who by now, so I know he's young, but by now with all of the skills, he should not be taking some of those terrible routes on the ball. He has too much skill to be able to do that. To see and to learn why that was happening, it's pretty alarming. I'm glad that they've had a year. I think Chaim Bloom's had a year to like look at that, and they're dedicating fixing that. That's the worry, though. Like, on one hand, I'm willing. I think it's okay to take a year back and figure out what's going to happen and fix those things. You do have to make sure you fix those things, however. I think that's the worry, is that like they'll take this step back and whatever results come out of it, that if you're going to do that, that's fine. But those things better not happen at Busch Stadium. I think that's really what really hurt attendance and fan interest last year. It wasn't that it was a bad team. We've seen worse teams at Busch Stadium among the Cardinals before. It was the fact that they didn't look like the Cardinals, and I think fans reacted to that.
You said something right now, and you're very good with words. I'm going to steal this from you moving forward. You referred to it as a clarifying year, and I like that's so true. That is so incredibly true because, like you said, not a bad season. They were in playoff contention for much of the year. One thing changes here, one thing changes there. Maybe they are a playoff team, but it's also a year where they went out and they spent legit money on Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, and they got all these guys in thinking that this was the model and it was still going to work the way they've done things for so long, and it didn't. And that was kind of the final domino to get pushed down to finally say, okay, you got to do things differently. And if this works, Will, if they turn it on and if they get player development humming along and they start developing high-end players both from a pitching standpoint and from a position standpoint, the clarifying year of 2024 could be a real crossroads moment for this organization in a very good way.
And listen, teams lose 100 games sometimes and still don't get, like, the clarity of purpose. So I think the Cardinals kind of got from this year. And listen, this is, you know, people always, like, make fun of the Cardinals for the best fans in baseball and so on. But, like, I will say, one of the things I love about Cardinals fans is they pay so close attention that, like, this was a winning team this year. This team had a winning record. This team was not terrible. They were ostensibly, they made moves at the deadline. They were close enough to make some sort of move. But Cardinals fans knew. They knew, and they kind of voted with their feet, right? Like there's, again, there have been worse teams that Cardinals fans have watched and gone out and played. This was the year where you just watched and be like, we've been watching the Cardinals for a long time. This is not what they are supposed to look like. And I think that the fact that the scenes finally showed this year and the fans are in tune enough with this team and so focused. And this is a gift, by the way. This is a gift for Cardinals management and the people that own the Cardinals and run the Cardinals and play on the Cardinals. It is a gift to have a fandom that's tapped in like this, because I think that's really the change is, again, you could look at the record and say things got better and maybe there's still hope for these guys. You could see on the field, and you could see in the turnstiles of the difference it made. Fans noticed that, and I think now that's the understanding now. I think there is a sense, because the Cardinals fans have always kind of come out and always supported the team, I think there's sometimes been a sense within the organization that, hey, this is great. We're always going to have this support. We're always going to have this, and therefore we don't have to maybe push as hard as we need to. I think the Cardinals fans kind of making their statement last year. There wasn't heavy booing. There wasn't like mass exodus. There wasn't protest. It was just an understanding of, like, you know what? This isn't it. This is not what the Cardinals are supposed to look like. To see them react to that and react in a way that, frankly, doesn't strike me as poorly thought out. I think there's some sense to what they're doing that I found it very encouraging. Again, they haven't really made any moves yet, but the idea behind it, I do understand it. We'll see if they can follow through on it.
And one of the things that does, and Bernie and I've talked about this a lot, they say they want to hand things off to the kids this year. Well, they've created some space at the catcher spot because Wilson Contreras is going to go over to first, although that blocks Alec Burleson a little bit. If they trade Nolan Arenado, there's some opportunities for some young players playing that combination of third and second that's impacted there. But they've got to create some room in the rotation. We'll see what happens with Walker in the outfield. It seems like if they truly want to, you know, quote unquote, play the kids, Will, there's still some things that they need to do to make that happen. It's still a kind of an old roster, even with Paul Goldschmidt not being around.
You know, I thought one of the better columns I saw this last week was something that Ben Fredrickson wrote in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Again, being very in tune with the fan base. Think about how much psychic energy has been put into Nolan Arenado over the last 5-6 years. Is he going to opt out? Does he want to stay? Is he willing to take a discount to make this team better? Is he happy? Arenado is not a naturally he's demonstrative, but he's not a rah-rah sort of guy. He doesn't always look happy out in the field. And so there's a question, is he happy here? All Cardinal fans have been worried about, is Arenado the star? Is he happy? Is he going to stay here? Because if he's here, that means the Cardinals can compete. The fact that Arenado has been the center of so many rumors and so many discussions, and I think there's a general sense about Cardinals fans who still like Arenado. I don't think there's been a turn against Arenado. for the fact that there's a general understanding of, yeah, you know what, maybe he just doesn't quite fit with what they're doing right now, is very telling. I find it very telling. And it's not meant to be an insult to Arenado, like, get him out of here. To me, it seems like if he does get traded, it will be generally a warm feeling all around. I don't think he's, like, running him off. And frankly, I think it makes sense for the roster in a lot of ways, in ways that are more than just cut down the payroll. And I think this goes to what I was talking about earlier, the idea of, like, I'm not, I'm a Cardinals fan. I write about this team. I watch all these teams' games. I am not personally or emotionally invested in whether or not the Cardinals decrease their payroll. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I want them to, I understand that there are business reasons that they have to do it for this year. And I, with the television situation, I certainly understand that. But I'm never going to be like, yay, you did it. You're spending $20 million next year. Go Cardinals. Like, it's not so much that, but I do think Arenado, just like, there's a lot of guys you could put at third base and maybe get some answers. You've got, I think Gorman makes a lot of sense over there. I think putting him at second base, I think he's been fine, but I think it's also been an uncomfortable position and maybe not allowed him to get really set as a hitter and kind of figure himself out. I think putting him at third makes a lot of sense. Arenado, his window doesn't really jive with what the Cardinals' window is right now. The fact that the fans are not like, they're neither get him out of here or no, you can't possibly trade Arenado, I think speaks to everybody just being kind of rational about all of this, including Arenado. And so I think particularly when Soto signs, I think all of baseball is going to just get some clarity and they'll be able to kind of move forward with the winter meetings going this weekend. And I think Arenado is the next step of that. And I think it is, I feel like it's almost kind of nice. You know, there's always so much drama about the Cardinals' best player. It feels like there always has been since Pujols, right? Like, I feel like the last 7 years of Pujols' time in St. Louis was kind of obsessed with this idea of, like, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Are we going to lose him? How do we keep him? The idea that, like, Arenado is still a very good player. He's declining. He's still a very good player. And clearly, in many ways, you still see his jersey of more than any other active players on the team. The fact that the fan base is not, like, reacting dramatically to the idea of Arenado being traded, in fact, actually acting rationally and logically, I think that's a good sign for both the team and, frankly, the player.
Will Leach, you can read him all over the place. Recently wrote Thanksgiving Detroit Lions column for the Washington Post, had a piece about the Tyson fight that ran in the New York Times. He's all over, writes at MLB.com. Of course, does the Seen Red podcast with our guy Bernie Miklas. You follow him on Twitter, where you can see everything that he's doing, no matter what outlet it might be coming from, at William F. Leach. Will, always great to talk to you. Have a very wonderful holiday season and Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk in the new year.
Of course, absolutely. Chat soon. Be safe.
All right, very good. Will Leach joining us on the program. Appreciate him taking some time with us. That I wasn't going to talk about this, but he said something there that kind of spurred me. And he referenced the Ben Fredrickson column in the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, which was a fantastic column. Good job by Ben. Generally does write fantastic columns. Really, really, really good columnist here that we've got in St. Louis, as is most of the writers that we have. Not most. I can't even think of anyone I don't like. All the writers that we have in St. Louis. But I don't know if it's apathy, but I'll say the apathetic nature of the response to a potential Nolan Arenado trade. Is it, as Will said, because people just get it, or is there more to it than that? We'll discuss that coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, 314-436-7900. That's how you text into the program, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We just had Will Leach on, and Will made reference to a recent Ben Fredrickson column talking about kind of the potential reaction to a potential Nolan Arenado trade. Now, that being said, we were talking about the idea of Arenado getting traded, and immediately on the text line, we do get a text that says, I sure don't want Arenado to be traded. And I appreciate there are people out there that feel that way. I don't think it is a majority of people, and I don't think, if there is a clear majority, it's probably more people want him to be traded. I think our texter, who I appreciate, is in the minority on this one. Although I think the actual majority of people are kind of like, if they trade him, that's fine. If they don't trade him, that's fine as well. So in reference to the Ben Fredrickson column and in reference to what Will Leach just said, Will made the point that, you know what, Cardinals fans kind of get it, that the team is trying to push forward and give young players an opportunity, and you can give those young players more of an opportunity if you open up some time at third base, and you do that by trading away Nolan Arenado, and that's why there's not a big, you know, loud, boisterous opposition to it. At the same time, Nolan Arenado hasn't done anything to, like, offend the fan base for the most part. So outside of a vocal minority, people aren't going to be out with pitchforks trying to get him traded at the same time. I would add this to the conversation. There are different eras of Cardinals baseball. You think about a certain era and you think about the players. And more often than not, there are very specific players that you connect. And obviously, eras cross over, right? Like you get a young player with an older player and eventually it becomes that. So, I mean, it's not a defined line. But we're coming out of the Goldschmidt-Arenado era of Cardinals baseball. What have they won? They've gone to the playoffs, haven't won a playoff game. What have they won? In terms of the Cardinals and the expectations for the organization, they haven't won anything. So if you're going to get really upset about a player getting traded, you generally get really upset about that player being traded because of what you think about that player. What forms what you think about a player? Obviously, the performance is part of it. I'm not trying to be dismissive of performance. And Nolan Arenado, for a while, was one of the top players in baseball. I've said this over and over. A couple years ago, it would have come down between him and Aaron Judge for me for a player to pick to build around for a single season. High-level defense at a premier position with a bat that could keep him in MVP conversation. That is a combination that doesn't really exist very often. So I am in no way, shape, and or form trying to be dismissive of who Arenado is as a player. I am a big fan of his and what he has done. But because he has played on a team that has not won, and again, going back to why you become emotionally attached to athletes that you are fans of, it's because of big, memorable moments. What happens when a player gets traded and you're watching the 10 o'clock news that night and Martin Kilcoyne or Tamar Scher or Frank Cusimano pop on your TV and they're talking about that trade and they run the player who's been traded away and they've got B-roll footage? What's the footage they're going to show? They're going to show the great moments from those players because that's what you're going to remember. And with all due respect to anything Arenado did as a Cardinal, and he has had some very, very, very good moments, he doesn't have these huge plays in the postseason, big hits in the postseason, or big hits in September and October that push a team to the postseason. There are huge moments for, not huge, there are memorable moments for him, especially from a defensive standpoint. There are things that he did in games that you remember. But what's the consequence of those things? And in terms of playoffs, not really. Hasn't had that. And so if Goldschmidt and Arenado are going to be the central figures of whatever era we're coming out of now of Cardinals baseball, they represent an era where you didn't win postseason games. So I think that's part of why Paul Goldschmidt not coming back, not a lot of people are upset about that. Nolan Arenado probably being traded, not a lot of people are upset about that. And I think it is connected to there being less emotional attachment to him because of the lack of playoff wins during their tenure. Text message from the 256 says, if third base opens up, is there any thought about Walker at third, Jordan Walker at third? No. I know he came up as a third baseman. That was never going to be his position. It just wasn't. You can make the case that the Cardinals probably failed by not getting him to the outfield sooner, by not making that initial decision. He's not a third baseman. And more importantly, and this is very important, you've already changed positions on him once when he was really close to the big leagues, and he worked his you-know-what off to try to get better defensively, and I think that impacted his offense. He needs to work on hitting. The last thing he needs to have in the back of his mind is another position change. Down the line, is there a possibility that he goes to first base? Yeah, I could see that. I could see him eventually being a first baseman. It's not going to happen for a while. The Wilson Contreras thing certainly made that possible. And we can you see the flashes with Walker defensively in the outfield. I think he has the ability to turn into an average overall outfielder who can make a spectacular play here and there. That's what I would kind of refer to him. He's don't mess around with him defensively right now. Goals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to as many numbers as you want to count are for him to figure it out offensively. And whatever you get from him defensively, that's what you get. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Continuing on right here on KMOX, this is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Threw this out earlier if you had any thoughts on whether or not Ryan Helsley should be traded, because right now indications are, according to Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic and Fox Sports, what he is hearing just talking with executives from other teams, that the general feeling is that the Cardinals are planning on hanging on to Helsley. Text message from the 608 says, I agree with you. Trade him for prospects or guys already in the majors. This guy can bring a lot. Take advantage of it. I think the Cardinals have two tickets right now for this offseason to really add to their prospect list. And they did a pretty good job a couple years ago when they sold off at the deadline. There were some guys that they brought in who are a big part of what the team is doing moving forward. But if they are trying to reset the minor leagues and reset player development, well, adding in some top-level prospects can go a long way towards making that happen. And the Cardinals have Ryan Helsley. He is a bit of a lottery ticket when it comes to bringing in young talent. And then I think Eric Fetty is the other guy, and this was just even more pronounced earlier today when we found out that Luis Severino, got a deal from the A's, 3 years, $67 million. Let me repeat that. Luis Severino, 3 years, $67 million. This man's making $22, $23 million a year. And this is after the deals with Frankie Montas and Matthew Boyd, where they're each $15 to $20 million per year. The cost of pitching, it has grown so much. When you're paying Luis Severino $23 million per year, that tells you a lot about where the game is at. So Eric Fetty, who's better than Luis Severino, Eric Fetty, who's better than Frankie Montas, Eric Fetty, who's better than Matthew Boyd, is making $7.5 million this year for a Cardinals team that's going through a reset and is coming up on the final year of his deal. Man, oh man, oh man, if I'm John Mozeliak, am I seeing whether or not there are some teams interested in Fetty? Because he's another guy that can go get you something, because the teams would have to only pay $7.5 million for him. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.